Will you please turn to Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Just one verse, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. And they shall not teach each his fellow citizen, and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Because all shall know me in themselves, from the little one among them unto the great among them. 1 John, First Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Chapter 2, verse 27. First John, chapter 2, verse 27. And yourselves, the unction, or the anointing, which ye have received from him, abides in you. And ye have not need that anyone should teach you, but as the same unction, or anointing, teaches you as to all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as he has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Dear Lord, as we gather in thy presence, we do realize thy tremendous love for us in providing everything for us. Lord, will you not open our understanding that we may not only see it, but we may appropriate it? We do desire, O Lord, that as long as we live on this earth, we may glorify thee. Teach us how, show us how, and bring us into the reality. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We have been burdened with this matter of spiritual growth. Since we have believed in the Lord Jesus and we have received his precious life, having his Holy Spirit dwelling in our new spirit, we ought to grow in our spiritual life. By spiritual life, it simply means a life in our new spirit. A life according to the Holy Spirit of God. Why is it that we who have believed in the Lord Jesus and have received all the precious promises and provisions that God has provided for us, and yet we do not grow as we ought? Why is it that we often remain as babes in Christ instead of into full growth? That is to be conformed to the image of Christ. So this is our pressing problem. This is our quest. We want to find out how can we really grow spiritually, transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. And we feel that probably one reason is we do not know how to exercise our spirit. Thank God, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and quickened our dead spirit in us into a new spirit. So every saved person within him or her has a new spirit. Now, why is it that new spirit is so important? Because God is spirit. And there is no way to communicate with God unless in and through our spirit. But we know that our spirit that is within us is not a material thing. Not because it is not a matter, therefore, it is non-existent. As a matter of fact, our spirit within us is as real as our body, or we may say even more real than our body. But how do we know we have a spirit? We know it by its functions. We cannot see it, but we can experience it. Because our spirit has its function. Mainly, it has three important functions. Number one is in our spirit, we have the faculty of conscience. A conscience that has been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus, so that we may live on this earth with a conscience without any offense before God and man. Conscience tells us what is right, what is wrong. Conscience is the voice of God. And it is very important for us believers to pay attention to our conscience. The Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience, telling us what is right before God, what is wrong before God. And we need to listen to the voice of our conscience. And if we can live a life with a pure, good conscience, not accuses us, but rather excuses us. Then our walk on earth before God and man is accepted by God. So we need to exercise our conscience daily. The Apostle Paul, he can testify towards the latter part of his life that he lives before God and man with a conscience without offense. And that should be our testimony. Conscience is not something that only when we are saved, at the moment we are saved, it awakens. But conscience is a law of life, of our spiritual life. We need to pay close attention to our conscience. Now this morning we would like to consider together how to exercise the next faculties of our spirit. We call it intuition. Now, by intuition, it simply means direct knowledge. It is a knowledge that comes directly from God. It is not from outside. It is not by human reasoning. But God directly speaks to our spirit. He tells us what is good and what is evil. You know, there is a difference between right and wrong and good and evil. Good and evil in the scripture is deeper than right and wrong. Because good, according to the scriptural meaning, it means God's will. Whatever is God's will, it is good. And whatever is not God's will, it is bad. It is not like the worldly concept. So, our intuition will tell us what is good, the will of God, and what is bad, not the will of God. Isn't it true that in our Christian life, this is an important question? We want to know what is the will of God in this matter, in that decision, in this way or that way. We want to know what is God's will so that we may obey and do His will. Now, how do you know it? We know it through intuition. If conscience is related to the righteousness of God, then intuition is related to the holiness of God. What do you mean by holy? Holy means you are separated unto God. That's holy. Now, how can we be holy as He is holy? Through intuition. So if we do not know how to exercise our intuition properly, we do not know how to be holy. What we consider as good, it may turn out to be bad. And what we consider as bad, probably it is good. It is the will of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, this matter of intuition is very, very essential. We need to exercise it daily. You know, there are two kinds of knowledge. One kind of knowledge, we call it acquired knowledge. Now, how do we get a knowledge. When we are a little baby, when we are a child, we are innocent. But it is natural that as we grow up, we begin to gather knowledge. We begin to gather information from outside. Outside things begin to give us a certain kind of knowledge. And we begin to gather this knowledge, store them, analyze them, and come to a kind of conclusion as to what we think is right, or what we think is wrong, what we think is good, or what we think is bad. Now that's the way we gather knowledge. It is all from outside. And it is amazing. You know, I often amaze at the human brain. Just a little human brain, and it can gather so many information, store so many data, and can do so many things, thinking, analyzing, synthesizing. Marvelous. Our mind is a marvelous thing. It is the exercise of our soul. Because mind is the faculty of our soul. That's the way we gather information. So we call them acquired knowledge. And by acquiring all this knowledge, it gives us the wisdom. To live, to behave, to act as a human being. Now that's the way we get the knowledge. But there is another way, a higher way of knowledge. We call it intuitive knowledge or revelational knowledge. You do not gather these information from outside. It is not affected by outside circumstances or information. It comes directly from God, and it speaks to your spirit, not to your mind. It's the exercise of your spirit, not the exercise of your mind. It shows us what is the will of God, what is not the will of God. And it's all within your spirit. It does not depend on outside circumstances or information. And that is the way to know the mind of God, the will of God. I may put it in another way. You know, we have been fellowshipping on Genesis. And you find that when God put man into the Garden of Eden, he planted all beautiful and edible trees in the garden, all kinds of fruits. Isn't that wonderful? For the need of our physical body. But in the midst of the garden, he planted the tree of life, and by its side, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, sometimes people think that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a bad tree. Not at all. In the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasure, God would never plant a bad tree there. As a matter of fact, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a better tree, better than all the edible fruitful trees. Why? Because the fruitful trees are for our bodily need. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is for our soul need, for our mind, that we may have the knowledge of good and evil. It's a good tree. But in the midst of the garden, there is the tree of life. And the tree of life is food for our spirit. So you find there is fruit, there is provision for our body, there is provision for our soul, and there is provision for our spirit. But why is it, God said, of all the trees in the garden you can freely eat, only that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat? Because when you shall eat it, on the day you shall eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now why? Because God loves us. He knows that without his life and just having knowledge in your soul, it is wonderful. It makes you intelligent. It makes you somebody. You know, as Eve was tempted, it made you as gods. You can know good and evil. But sadly, such knowledge brings death. Because you know what is good, you cannot do it. You know what is bad, you do not have the life to resist it. So it's death. So in a sense, you can say, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is for your soul. In your mind, you may be able, because at that time sin was not in the world yet, so they may be able to know what is the will of God, what is not the will of God. But unfortunately, they do not have the life to obey the will of God and resist the evil. That's the reason why God wants to protect us from it. But the tree of life has a knowledge. Itself is a knowledge because it gives us the knowledge of God. Life gives us the knowledge of God himself. We often said, you can know about God by searching. But if you want to know God, you have to receive his life. We can know that there should be a God somewhere. Where does the universe come from? And by reasoning, you can come to a point said, well, there must be a God. You can know much about God. He must be mighty, he must be wise, or he must be lovely, or whatever it may be. You may have all these kind of knowledge. But these knowledge condemn you instead of save you. Now, if you really want to know God, you have to receive his life. When his life comes, then you know him intimately, not indirectly. Isn't that true? Before you believe in the Lord Jesus, you may know about God, but there is no contact. There is no experience of God. God is billions and billions of miles away. And his condemnation. Because there is a God, then you are finished. because he is righteous and you are sinful. But thank God, the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus, what happened? You lift up your head and say, Abba, Father. Isn't that true? Immediately you know him, not know about him. He is your Father. Children, as we find in 1 John chapter 2, children, you know your Father. That's true. You may not know much about other things, but you know your Father. And that gives us that intimate knowledge of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, we have these two different kinds of knowledge before us. Because of the sin of Adam, all mankind has is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all. That's all the knowledge that we have. We gathered all these information, have all these wisdom, but all these things will result in death. But thank God, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, something happened. And this knowledge, inward knowledge of God, gives life. And it is all in our spirit, in the intuitive faculty of our spirit. So I hope, dear brothers and sisters, that we will find, according to the Word of God, there are these two different kinds of knowledge. The knowledge that you acquired may help you in this world. But the knowledge that comes from life will enable you to live before God and to please Him. That's the difference. Now we're like to concentrate on this intuitive knowledge. As a matter of fact, dear brothers and sisters, we all have that experience already. It is not something totally foreign to us. Because when you believe in the Lord Jesus, something happened. Intuitively, you know God as your personal Father. But the problem is, instead of really developing this intuitive knowledge, we are led outside and into this acquired outside. Because that's what we knew before. So we would like to know what are the characteristics of this intuitive knowledge? Number one, we find in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us, Paul here has a prayer. It is a prayer for all believers. He said, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of God. Ephesians 1:17. It is something that is given by God. That is to say, we don't have it. Now, as a matter of fact, you remember when Peter confessed the Lord Jesus You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Tremendous knowledge. But why? Where came this knowledge? Our Lord Jesus said, Simon Peter, this is not what flesh and blood taught you. This is my Father who is in heaven who reveals it to you. So you find in the very beginning, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, it does not depend on the acquired knowledge. It depends on revelational knowledge. And this revelational knowledge does not come from outside. Indirectly. It comes directly from God to our spirit. So we can say, I know. I see it. Now, revelation means it is revealed to you. Thank God, He is the God of revelation. Now, if God will not reveal Himself to us, nobody will know Him. He is the greatest mystery in the world. All we know of God comes from Himself. He reveals Himself to us in many ways. And He reveals Himself in our spirit. There in our spirit we know Him. We may not be able to explain it, but we know. Because He has revealed it to me. It pleases God to reveal His Son in me. Now that is God. Now when we think of revelation, brothers and sisters, probably we have some misunderstanding. We think of revelation as something tremendous. Something that can only happen once or twice in your life. It revolutionizes your life completely. Drastic. Well, this is revelation. But revelation is something that we can receive daily. Maybe smaller light, but it helps. It helps us to know Him. It helps us to know His will. Because we have this need every day. We want to know what is the will of God. Without knowing the will of God, how can we live? How can we act? So the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given to us through Christ Jesus. We shall expect revelation. I remember Brother Nee said, in your lifetime, you may receive one or maybe two great revelations. That's all you may get. It's so drastic. It changes your whole being. But revelation is something that God is pleased to reveal daily His beloved Son. Now here you find, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now what is wisdom? You know, wisdom and knowledge are different. Knowledge is just, if we may say, information. But wisdom is how to, you have the ability to use their information. Some people have lots of knowledge, but not much wisdom. In other words, they know of many things, but cannot make use of their knowledge. They don't have the wisdom. So we need wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, in one sense, is the substance and the ability to use the substance. But you know, there are two different kinds of wisdom. If you read James chapter 3, the book of James chapter 3, verse 15, this is not the wisdom which comes from above, but earthly, natural, devilish. For where emulation and strife are, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above first is pure, then peaceful, gentle, yielding, full of mercy and good fruits. Unquestioning, unfeigned, but the fruit of righteousness in peace is sown for them that make peace. So there are two different kinds of wisdom. There is the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. And what the wisdom from below will result in your life, you will find there will be jealousy, envy, strife, disorder, evil things. It is not only earthly, it is natural and even devilish. Now you find it in this world. There are lots of such wisdom around us. People who think they are wise, yes. But they are wise as a serpent, without being guileless as a dove. That's the wisdom from below. But the wisdom from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, yielding, full of mercy and good fruits, unquestioning, unfeigned. That's God's wisdom. So we need to have God's wisdom instead of world's wisdom. People have lots of worldly wisdom, but they are totally lacking in wisdom from above. So, brothers and sisters, how can we live our spiritual life without the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Increasingly, we need to grow in this wisdom from above. Increasingly, we need to live in this revelational knowledge that we may truly know God and know His will. You know, in John chapter 17, verse 3, it said, to know Him who is the only true God, and to know the one whom He has sent. This is eternal life. So eternal life has a kind of knowledge, which is spiritual knowledge. And this is the knowledge that we must grow before the Lord. That will teach us how to live on this earth, to glorify God, to live a holy life, a life of sanctification. Now that is the first characteristic. Now the second characteristic, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 tells us what the new covenant is. Now we all know when we are breaking the bread and drinking the cup, and that cup is the new covenant. The Lord said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it, all of you, and remember. Now we have been doing that. So we are constantly being reminded that we are not under the old covenant. We are under the new covenant. God has made a covenant, a contract with us. And it is sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. It cannot be changed. And what is in that new covenant? Now, if you need read Hebrews from chapter 8, verse 10 to 12, you will find it is very simple. In the old covenant, you have 10 commandments. But in the new covenant, you have only 3 articles. Verse 10 is one. It says, because this is the covenant that I will covenant to the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. Giving my law into their mind, I will write it upon their heart, and I will be to them for God, and they shall be to me for people. That's the first article. The law is not written on stones. It's written in our heart. And in the old covenant, if you keep the Ten Commandments, God said, then you will be my people and I will be your God. But here you'll find he writes his new covenant, new law into our hearts, and he said, I will be your God and you will be my people. In other words, he will take all the responsibility. Not what you do, but what he does. Number one. Number two, verse 11. And they shall not teach each his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, because all shall know me in themselves, from the little one among them unto the great among them. You see, there are two kinds of knowledge. One kind of knowledge is you need somebody to teach you. Know the Lord. And in Greek, the word know here is an objective knowledge. You do not know. And somebody has to come and teach you. Know the Lord. In the Old Commandments, you shall only have one God. And beside him there is none else. You don't know it. So people have to come, like the priests or the scribes, has to come and teach you. There is only one true God. And aside from God, you should not worship any other idol. That's the way you get information and come to the knowledge. But he says, you should not teach each his brother or each his fellow citizen. Now, we are fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. We are all brothers. He said, you should not teach each, saying, know the Lord. Now, if nobody teaches us, how can we know? Well, he says, because all shall know me. And the know here is oida, which means intimate knowledge. You know it intimately within yourself. It is experiential knowledge. You experience it. Because there is something within you that you know. And because you know it, you don't need anybody from outside to teach you. It is an inner knowledge. That's the second characteristic. And you find it is from the very little one to the greatest among you. In other words, as long as you are born again, you have that knowledge already. It grows, yes, but it is there. Isn't it wonderful? As soon as you're born again, you know your Father. But you need to know your Father more and more. Until you really know what is your Father's heart, what is His will, and you're able to share His responsibility. That's growth. And that's how we grow in the knowledge of God. So you don't need anybody to teach you. You know it yourself. Now, when you read 1 John, what does it tell you? He said, God is light. And there is no darkness in Him. Now here, it doesn't say God's word is light. True, God's word is light. But here He said God Himself is light. In other words, here is God, His very life sheds light. That's God. Then how about us? In verse 7, He said, if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, we have an inner light within us. It shines upon our path. And by that light, we know what is of God, what is not of God. And if we walk in that light, as far as we know, God is in the light, we have fellowship. Whenever we disobey the light within us, our fellowship with God is interrupted. We need to confess our sins. Cleansed with the precious blood of the Lord, that our communion with God may be recovered. So this kind of knowledge is inward. It's not from outside. And this kind of knowledge is always true. Because in 1 John 2:27, it says, you have the anointing within you. That is the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And the anointing is there for a purpose, to teach you in all things. Big things, small things. You know, oftentimes in big things in our life, we want to seek the will of God. But in small things, we do it ourselves. That's our problem. The Holy Spirit will teach us in big things and small things. Great things in your life. And even daily, mundane, small things, He will teach you. And whatever He teaches is true. And it's not false. You know, when men teach you, they may teach incorrectly. But when the Holy Spirit teaches you, is always true. We need to listen to it. If we obey the anointing within us, we abide in Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, how do we abide in Christ? Abiding. How do we abide? How do we make a home in Christ? Only by listening to the inner anointing. You experience the Holy Spirit every day. You experience the Holy Spirit every moment. That's spiritual life. And if you ignore it, you have no spiritual life at all. How important it is. And number three, the characteristics of the intuitive knowledge is the only way to life and to service. If you want to see your spiritual life really grow, that is the only way. It is not outside teaching that really builds you up. It is that inward teaching by the Holy Spirit that really builds your spiritual life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we are told, the natural man does not know the mind of God, nor does he appreciate it. Only the spiritual man knows all things. So, dear brothers and sisters, it is our spiritual life. And it is our spiritual service. Because we serve the living God. And unless we serve Him according to His will, not according to what we think is good for Him, then we are accepted. We may call Him Lord, Lord, but we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We may say, Lord, we preach in your name. We do miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord said, I do not know you. Who are you? I do not know you. I do not acknowledge you. I do not accept you. Recommend you, because you are not doing my Father's will. You are doing your own will. That's the only way to service. So you see how important we need to exercise our intuition. Now, the most important point. How do we exercise our intuitive faculty? How? One day, the disciples came to our Lord in Matthew chapter 18. They asked the Lord a question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Now that has been something that they argue among themselves all along. That's natural, earthly. And you remember what the Lord did. He gave them a demonstration. He took a little child. And he said, unless you are converted and be as a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you humble yourself as this little child, then you are the greatest in the kingdom. In other words, a little child, naturally speaking, he has very little informational knowledge. Then how a child lives? A child lives by intuition. You will be amazed to see a child knows how to be close to a person and how to avoid a person. Naturally, a child can find itself drawing close to a person. It has perfect faith in that person. But you get other person, you will find he withdraws himself. How? On what basis? Intuition. And oftentimes, it works. amazing. But as we grow up, we depend less and less on intuition and more on information. We begin to live more and more outward instead of live more and more inward. Our way of life is changed. What God has provided us, we neglect. We begin to gather information from all outside. And we think that makes us wise. That makes us knowledgeable. That's how we behave. And we do not use our intuition faculty. You know, as a child, his intuitive faculty is still there, though it is not correct, absolutely. He may, because there is lack of standard. But when we are saved, it is the Holy Spirit within us who is teaching us. It's true. And unfortunately, we neglect it. And we depend all our mental exercise, our logic, our reasoning. We live by these things. That's how we lose the use of our intuitive power. In Chinese, we have a proverb. It is a little difficult to translate. But the meaning is, the more you are worldly wise, the deadly is your inward sense, intuition. If you are worldly wise, the wiser you are, the less will be your intuitive power. It is true. The Lord Jesus said, you remember in Matthew chapter 11, our Lord had did lots of things in Capernaum, Chorazin, and they don't believe. And you remember our Lord said, Father, I thank you because you have kept these things away from the wise and the prudent, but give them to the babes. Isn't it true? Unless we are converted as little child. Because when we are worldly wise, we depend upon ourselves. We use our logic, reasoning, to decide what we should do, what we should avoid. And the more wise we are, the more pretense we are. We are no longer true. We have a facade, but a little child doesn't have that kind of covering. They are very true, simple. Brothers and sisters, we need to be converted as a little child. Before God, we are but little. Not childish, no, but childlike. That's what we need. And the more childlike we are, the more humble we are, the less we depend upon ourselves. Rely on our logic. Then we will look up and allow him to reveal his mind to us. Brothers and sisters, that's the secret. So you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We do not see him because our pure heart is not pure. We are so complicated by our knowledge accumulated from the world, from outside. We are not pure before God, looking steadfastly, fixed upon him. And that's the reason why we lose the power of intuition. Very simple. But in order to arrive at that point, we have to learn, as it find in Matthew 11:29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul." In other words, the way to really exercise your intuition, set your intuitive faculty free from bondage, and allow you to really develop, grow in intuition, brothers and sisters, we need to take the cross. Because it is the cross that will deal with our natural man. Deliver us from our natural man. And enable us to learn of Christ. That's the way. Very simple. So I often think, intuition in our spirit is the most mysterious faculty. But not because it is most mysterious, it is most profound. As a matter of fact, it is the most simple. Isn't simple? Direct knowledge. And we make it so complicated. And because we are so complicated, therefore, our intuitive faculty is not well developed. Finally, a warning. The soul and the spirit are so intertwined. It is very difficult to distinguish what is of the spirit and what is of the soul. In our soul there is the mind. In our spirit there is intuition. But these two things are so similar, even though the origin of heaven and earth. But the experience is so close that it is very difficult to distinguish what is of the mind and what is of the spirit. Very difficult. So we, in learning it, we tend to make mistakes. Sometimes we have an impression in our mind and we take it as the impression in our spirit. And we do it. And it all prove that it is wrong. In other words, you learn by mistake. You know? Recently, I'm reading the 2-volume biography of the greatest evangelist of the 18th century in England, George Whitefield. When he started, he was very young, in the early 20s. God greatly used him. But he made mistakes. Why? Because he seek guidance through impression. When he feels there is an impression within him, and he has such a nature, then when an impression comes, he can see it. It's like a vision. And he just acts on it. Because he thinks that is from God. And he made mistakes. But thank God, he was humble enough. When people pointed out to him his mistake, he acknowledged it, he humbled himself, and he learned a lesson. So it is very easy to mistake an impression that you find in you. You do not know whether it is in your spirit or in your mind, because they are so close. And you act on it. So it is a lesson we need to learn gradually. And where is the safeguard? Now we have said you don't need anybody to teach you. So you refuse to have any teachers. You refuse to accept any help, correction from other people. You are in danger. So that's the reason why the Bible tells us. Now, even in 1 John, when it talks about this matter, little children, you have no worldly knowledge yet. Yet the world is full of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is already there. Now, how do you know it is the Antichrist? You know it. Because you have the anointing within you. I remember when I was in New York, there was a brother who was newly saved. He doesn't have any scriptural knowledge. And he went to Boston. He attended a meeting. And in the meeting, people taught something. He could not really explain it. But he said when he listened to that sermon, he fell within himself. It is wrong. He do not know where the wrong is. When he came back to New York and talked, then it is wrong. Because there you'll find people talking. We are gods. Just like Eve wanted to be gods. Brothers and sisters, as a child you knew it. But at the same time, you'll find in chapter 2, it says, you have heard the word. In other words, the word of God is important. We need to check our impression with the word of God. If it doesn't agree with the word of God, it's wrong. Because the word of God and the inward leading come from the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He cannot say one thing in you and another thing in the word of God. So that's why we need the word of God. And we need teachers. Teachers are not to govern our lives. Teachers are to help. Sometimes to correct. Sometimes to confirm what the Lord is working in your life. So, brothers and sisters, this is a warning that we have to take to heart. Not because you are a child of God, that only in the anointing will teach you all things. You don't need any help. You care not what brothers and sisters, the church says. When you have the impression, does it? Be careful. We need to be humble enough to be corrected, to learn, and to repent. So may the Lord. Dear Lord, we put these scattered words into thy hands. If it comes from thee, Lord, bless it into our hearts and let it be registered. And not only be registered, but Lord, may thy Holy Spirit make it alive, that we may learn how intuitively to walk in. in thy will. We ask in thy precious name.